Hallelujah. Hey, give these young people a good hand. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Remember when I preached about the ages and stages and generations, I talked about the fact that in the church, if we're not careful, we have generational separation instead of generational cohesion. And we all got to learn. Each generation has their way of doing things, even their way of worshiping, different than we do, you know. And we got to learn to work with all of it. Now, these kids, that's the way they worship. So, well, hey, I'll be 76 since third day of September, and I say to you, get a life. Come on. Your parents didn't like the way you worshiped either. They thought it was bad. Oh, I want to hear a hymn. Well, we do a hymn every once in a while. I like them too. Hey, if they did worship the way I like it, we'd be doing Southern gospel and country gospel all the time. And my daughter would fall out. Miss Denise, she's our student ministries pastor. Doesn't she do a good job with all the kids and the youth? And then all of the help, we got so much good help in the youth and the kids department, children, the student ministries, we should call it. Hallelujah. But we need to learn how to worship with the kids, worship with our youth, worship with those in between, and then those old heads, we need to learn how to worship with them, okay? Because, hey, let me tell you, on this stage and all of these teenagers and these kids that were down around the front, that's the future of this church. Without them, we have no future. The youth is our future. And a lot of churches are filled with older people and they're dying because if there's no youth, eventually everybody's going to be gone. And you go to some towns right now, and how many of you maybe are from a town or your grandparents are from a town that the churches are just gradually dying? Some of them already died. Oh, look at all the hands. Praise the Lord. Well, we're honoring our kids today, this other generation. And you know, did you know there is something in the Word of God, the Word of God talks about it, that it both destroys and builds. It's from the Bible. It's something that both destroys and builds at the same time. It can. You know what it is? Words. W-O-R-D-S. Words. Words destroy. Words build. Words cast down. Words lift up. Proverbs 18:21. Some of you already knew where I was going with this. Proverbs 18:21. I'll give you a chance to turn there. If you don't have it marked, you don't have this marked in your Bible, you need to mark this. Because it's important. All right. Everybody found it? I still see some people turning, so I'll wait just a minute. Okay. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's destroying and that's building up right there. Is that not correct? The power of the tongue. What is the power of the tongue? What is the power of the tongue? Words. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, the New Living Translation says it like this. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. In other words, all those who love it will eat its fruit. In other words, whatever your tongue produces, that's what you're going to get. Now, how many of you know what Mark 11:23 says? If you go to this church, most of you do anyway, you know, say with your mouth, believe with your heart, the things that you say will come to pass. Say that. What are you saying? Words, words. words can help you get the lifestyle you want, or they can ruin your life. So if you want a title for what I'm going to say this morning, you can call it Speak Life for a Better Life. Turn to your neighbor and say, Speak Life for a Better Life. We all know that words can hurt and words can help. How many of you have ever had somebody say something to you that hurt you? Words. The words hurt you. Out of this whole congregation, I did not have over 200 people that raised their hand, and I know better than that. I know that just probably everybody in here, sometime, somewhere, someplace, somebody said words that hurt you. Now, let me ask you that question again and see if I can get an honest answer. How many of you have ever had words said to you that hurt you? Oh, that's what I thought. Okay, all right. Now I finally got you engaged. Stay with me, okay? How many of you have ever had somebody say words to you that helped you? Yeah. You see, when you're going through hard stuff, words can either help you or hinder you. You know, it's said that words are containers and they're filled with something. They're either filled with doubt, despair, all kinds of ugly stuff, or they're filled with love, joy, peace, and all kinds of good things. I want to read to you from an author here about words. Perhaps they never told you, but they measure you by your words. Kids, listen to this. Adults, listen to this. You're measured by your words. You're rated by your words, this author says. Adults, sometimes your salary is gauged by your words. Your words can make a place for you or not make a place for you. Words. Words are more important than we realize. He goes on to say, empty words, that's words that have no meaning whatsoever. Empty words hold no more interest than last year's bird nest. You know, when we fill our words with honesty, we will be honest. When we fill our words with faith, we will build faith. Your deeds have their place, and we give credit to them, he says, but it's your words that set a fire in us. Our words motivate us. You know, words can either motivate you to succeed or motivate you to defeat. You there, you're gone home already. You know, you can fill your words with anything you wish. You can fill your words with fear until the air around you vibrates with fear. You can fill your words with doubt until the very atmosphere is permeated with doubt and unbelief. You can fill your words with the germs of fear until there is fear of disease and disaster so much that you're afraid to move. You can come to an individual with words filled with faith, and those faith words will stir you to your depths. They will cause you to say, "Why did I ever doubt in the first place?" You know, this author says words are like sunlight coming into a in to warm a room on a call when it's cold and frosty. Your words will pick up a broken spirit and fill it with confidence to cause it to go out and fight in life's battle and win. You know, the words of Jesus were always uplifting. They were words filled with faith. You know, it's important to speak positive words, encouraging words. When you do this, you bring life to yourself and to everybody else around you. How many of you have played sports? How many of you have ever sat in a locker room and heard words from a coach that you all, after he got through with his speech, or some former player come back and gave a speech, you almost tore the locker room door to get out and get on the field? How many of you know what I'm talking about? If you've never been there, it's tremendous. Now, let's bring it back into the spiritual side. How many of you have ever sat in an audience and the minister was ministering the words until you couldn't contain yourself and you jumped out of the seat and began to do a little jig or run? Hello. Words motivate. Words, and the words that we speak either bring us a better life or a ruined life. And do you know what? Nobody controls that but you. You control whatever it is that you want in life. You know, if you believe you can, you can. Let's take L-I-F-E. And let's talk about life and words. The L in life, you know, that can stand for loving words. Speaking words of love will help you to be a better person. And it also will help the people around you to be a better person. You know, when you speak words of love, kids, adults, all of us, when we speak words of love, we have people that want to be around us or want to be our friends. When we speak negative words about life, they don't want to care nothing to be around you. They don't want to be there. How many of you know somebody that when you see them coming, you just hate? Oh, no. Not because they're a bad person, but because their words are always so negative and filled with despair. How many know what I'm talking about? See, loving words make you accepted. Hateful words cause you to be rejected. We need to put a watch on our tongue. Put a guard on our tongue. Make sure we say the right words at the right time for each individual and for ourselves. You know, kids at school, you may see somebody going through a hard time. Hey, talk to them and tell them, hey, you can make it. It's going to be okay. They may have made a bad grade on a test, and they may be feeling bad about it. Tap them on the back and say, hey, man, you do better next time. Come on, we can do this. You can do this. See, it's important to do those sort of things. Let's look at the I for a minute. I stands for inspiring words. What does inspiring words do for you? Gives you hope. It motivates you to do your best. Have you ever noticed that they call the Word of God, the Bible, the inspired word? Because it inspires you to go to a different level, to move up with God, to move up to a different level. In the inspiring words. You know, when somebody says to you, hey, man, you can make it. You can do that. I believe in you. Man, something on the inside of you just clicks. And you rise up. You start to believe in yourself. On the other hand, when somebody says, oh, man, you mess up all the time. You're just dumb. What's that do? Those are uninspired words. Those are the words that cause you to go down. You know, speaking inspired words to everybody around you changes everything. I believe it was 64. I was gone. I was in the Army, but the town I was from, they were playing in a state high school championship football game, if I remember the story correctly. And there was only like a minute and some odd seconds to go in the game, almost 2 minutes. And Garland got the ball back, and they were behind by 6 points. And the quarterback come. He had talked to the coach, and I knew the coach personally in later years. And he talked to the quarterback. The quarterback went running into that huddle, and he said, boys, never fear. Jimmy's here. We're going all the way. He called the play, and he told the guy that he said, I'm going to give you the ball, and don't you hit the ground until you make at least 15 yards. And they marched right down the field, scored and kicked the extra point, and won the ball game. When he went into the huddle, everybody was like this, oh, because they were ahead, and they lost it. And he inspired them. You know, you got to realize that you can pick a whole group up by your inspired words. By your words and actions. I was listening at a sports talk show the other day, and I heard they were talking about a pro team that was playing in the Super Bowl. And this one of the other team members said, I knew we were going to lose because the quarterback was sitting over there on the bench with his head down, dejected. Now, he wasn't saying words, but he was saying words with his action. He was saying, I've had it. We're down. We can't make it. Hey, you can say words with your mouth. You can say words with your actions that will either inspire, that will motivate somebody, or that will cause them to lose heart and say, I can't. What does the F stand for? Faith, of course. You probably already beat me to the punch there. Faith words is simply saying what you believe. Saying, I can do it. I'm going to make a great grade on this test. I'm going to score the winning goal. I'm going to block the guy in front of me. I'm going to be the best tuba player, trumpet player, clarinet, whatever, in the band. You see, you have to speak faith. Now, there's faith from the Word of God, but you got to have faith in yourself. You got to believe you can do it before you can do it. Amen. My dad always told me that. You see, I don't care from kindergarten to if you're a senior in high to a senior in high school and all in between. You've got to learn to speak words of faith. You got to believe before you can. My dad used to tell me, he said, son, if you believe you can, you can. If you don't think you can't, you won't. On the other hand, I used to hear him tell people, say, see yourself healed. Say, I'm healed. Even before they were healed. You got to say it before it can happen. It works in the natural. Saying it works in the natural. The same as saying it in works in the spiritual. It works in both worlds. Hello. See, I learned this power of speaking faith words, not only from the Word of God and on the spiritual side, but on the natural side from my father. He would say, you know, he would tell me, he said, say it to yourself if you have to. I'm the best there is. I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. Hey, you got to believe you can. You got to say words of faith. And then faith words will build you up, motivate you to accomplish, both in the spiritual and the natural. Negative words will get you nothing. Faith words will get you everything. What did I say it started out? Speak life for a better life. In other words, speak it if you're going to have it. It's just like in the Word of God. Say to the mountain, believe in your heart. You got to say it, believe it, and then go out and make it happen. Okay, E. E in stands for encouraging words. What will encouraging words do for you? What will they do for you? Number one, encouraging words will build confidence in you. You will become a confident person. Encouraging words will build strength in you. And you will rise and be a strong person. Encouraging words will help you to win in life. You know, parents, we need to be careful what we say to our kids every morning. That word will linger with them. When I drop Craig and Denise off at school every day, I would say to them, Jesus loves you, Dad loves you, have a great day. I never one time told them, you better make a good grade. You better not get in trouble. Don't ever say that when you leave, because you leave them with a negative. Say something positive. Every night that I would tuck them in bed and pray with them, I would tell them, with you and Jesus, you can do or be anything you want to do. Be. You've got to build positive words into people. You got to build positive words into yourself. When you start feeling despair yourself, you start feeling down, if you have to, look in the mirror and talk to yourself. And speak encouraging words. Speak faith words. Speak inspiring words. Hello. When you encourage yourself, when you encourage others with your words, they won't forget it. See, learn how to help others by speaking life to them. Learn how to help yourself by speaking life to yourself. You got to say, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. Why can you speak life? Why can you speak these kind of words? Because you have let Jesus Christ become a part of your life. And God is the supreme master at speaking words of life. That's everything that I have said today is based on the words that are right here in this we call the Holy Bible. They're inspired words. They're faith words. They're encouraging words, right? Are they not? They're loving words. It's all here. Somebody say, oh, you're just giving a good lesson. Yeah, I'm giving a good lesson. I'm just going from a different direction. But everything I'm talking about is right here in this Word of God. Faith, love, inspiration, encouragement. It's all right here. And we got to believe we can before we can. You know, when I stepped on the track and running high school track, and I took those starting blocks, I didn't believe that there was anybody there that could beat me. Now, did I get beat? Yeah, sometimes. Not many times, but sometimes. But I believed I could do it. You know, somebody said, well, it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. That's nonsense. What do you play the game for then? Now, the attitude you have is important. If you lose, you got to learn how to lose with dignity and class. You see, when you've spoken words and it didn't work out for you, let that, man, that was always the motivation for me. Okay, I'll to do it better next time. I remember one time I'm playing defensive back, and this guy went by me, he caught a pass, went for a touchdown, and as he run back by me, I said, have him throw that one again. That's the last time you'll ever beat me today. Guess what? He didn't beat me no more that day. I used that as my motivation. I began to talk to myself. You can beat him. You're faster than he is. You can outrun him. You're quicker than him. You got to learn to talk to yourself. Do it on the job. Do it in everything you do. Words, words, words are important. Words will either make your life or break your life. What do you want out of life? Begin to speak it. Begin to speak it. Begin to tell yourself, I can run with these guys. I don't care how good they are. I don't care how many years they've been. I mean, like, with, you know, race car drivers. You got the young guys coming in all the time. You in NASCAR today. You got the older guys there, but you got some of those younger guys that are just 19, 20 years old, and you got some guy out there that's almost 50. He's in his 40s. You know, he's been doing it for years. That young guy, when he straps into that car, he has to say to himself, I can run with these guys. I'm as good as they are. I don't care how many years they've been racing. I can do it. You got to believe in yourself. Kids, as you go to that next grade, you're facing the next grade, and you say, oh, it's going to be hard. No, start talking about it's going to be easy because I can learn. I can listen to the teacher. I can read the book. I can learn. It's not going to be hard. It's going to be easy, and I'm going to make good grades. Talk to yourself. Speak these kind of words that I just talked about to yourself. Okay? All right. Anybody get anything out of this today? Remember, speak words of life to yourself and to others. Okay. I want to pray for all of my kids, kindergarten through the 12th grade. I want y'all to get up. I want y'all to come down here to the front right now. If you're up in the balcony, you have to come around the stairs here. They'll help you. The ushers will help you. All the kids from kindergarten to the 12th grade. Yeah, right there. That's good. Just come on down, guys. Oh, man, look at this. Hello. Isn't this good looking? Isn't this great? I got any kids coming from the balcony? I think so. I got some kids coming down from the balcony. Ushers, help them, please. Man, look at this. This is our church of tomorrow. Kids, I want y'all to know Pastor loves you. I'm proud of you. And you can be whatever you want to be with you and Jesus. Doesn't make any difference. You can do it. I want you to say to yourself, I can be and will be the best student in school. I will make good grades. I will excel in my sports. I will expel. If you do music, I will expel in. I will excel in music. I said the wrong word. See, Pastor makes mistakes too. But see, it don't bother me. I just keep going. That's what you got to do. Believe in yourself. All right.
I can do
all things. That means schoolwork, sports, music, job, everything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you believe that? How many of you really believe that? Let me see again. You really believe that? Now go make it happen. You can do it. You can do it.
I can do it.
That's right. Everybody needs to get that. Make you a little sign and put it on your mirror or on your dresser or somewhere that you read it every morning. I can do it. Make you a little sign that says, I can do it. Read it every day. All right, I was waiting until all of them got down. I think they got down by the balcony. Now, if you are a teacher in the public school system, I want you to come and stand behind these kids because I know we got several teachers in our congregation. All you that are teachers. Oh, all teachers in kindergarten through 12th grade is what I'm trying to say. Private schools, public schools, it don't make no difference. I know what I meant, but I didn't say what I meant. All right. If you're a teacher and you teach kids from the kindergarten through the 12th grade, come down here. All right. Praise the Lord. All right, congregation, I want you to stand. I want you. Oh, we got some coming from the balcony. Okay, some teachers coming out of the balcony. We'll wait just a minute. But as you're standing there, I want you to reach your hands out and pray for these young people down there. Some of them are your kids. Some of them are your grandkids. Some of them are just kids that you've known growing up here in the church. But we all have a responsibility to these kids down here. These teachers have a huge, huge task in front of them as they work within the system that's trying to put God out of it. They have a huge, huge task in front of them.
They do?
Now, y'all pray, okay? Everybody pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every one of these students down here. I thank you, Father, that as they go to school this year, that they will begin to believe in you and begin to believe in your words. Believe in themselves. I thank you for protection over them in every area of their lives. Protection for those that play sports. Protection for those that are in the band and every other activity that there is in school. I thank you that they're protected. I thank you they're protected on the way to school and coming home from school, they're protected. I put and set charge the angels, the guardian angels, around every one of these kids. They are surrounded by the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that they will succeed in life. I thank you for each of these teachers. Father, I pray that you give them wisdom, understanding. Give them the right words to say at the right time. Help them in everything that they do. We thank you that we know that we can depend on you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, everybody can go back, I guess. As we bye. Hallelujah. Well, some schools, I guess, have already started, and the rest of them will be starting this week, I think. How many of you kids already in school? Let me see your hands as you're going back. How many of you are going to be starting this week, sometime this week? Yeah, okay, there's the rest of them. All right. You know, I think it's important that churches and church members recognize, y'all can be seated for just a moment if you want, special days like this, and I've always been one that's done it, and special calendar days, I try to preach sermons and around the 4th of about freedom, and then Memorial Day, and all these holidays, many times we try the big ones. But, you know, in fact, I talked to a pastor and I told him what we were doing. He said, oh, I never thought of that. I thought, well, why? You know, we've done it here for how many years now? I don't know how many years we've done this. But it's important. Hey, now, church, all during the year, as you're praying, and how many of you pray at home? I got a pretty good show of hands. I hope more of you pray than lifted your hands. You know, some of you may be like the old boy. You know, the pastor asked a question and everybody raised their hand but one. And they said, well, how come you're not in favor of that? He said, I just don't like anything to be unanimous. I think some people that way sometimes. But during the year, hey, pray for these kids. Pray for our Rhema kids, the Rhema kids out of students. Pray for them. Pray for our teachers. And all through the year, just do that, okay? How many of you will do that? Put that on your prayer list to pray for our... See, that's our responsibility. We're the extended family of all these students. How many realize we are their extended family? We're their church family. They got their family, but we're their church family. And we have a responsibility to them. So let's take that responsibility seriously, okay? Praise the Lord. Well, Bow your heads for just a moment, please. I never like to do a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus. I realize we've talked about words, but listen, you have to say the right words and be involved with Jesus. If you happen to be here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you need to rededicate your life to God and you know it, or you say, I go to church, but I don't know whether I've ever accepted Christ or not, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Anybody on any one of those invitations, let me see your hand right now. Anybody, anywhere, let me see your hand. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you right now. Anybody, I'm looking across the room, upstairs, downstairs. Is there a hand over here? I think somebody said there's a hand raised. I didn't see it, but yes, there's a hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Praise the Lord. Are the others that would raise their hands? Thank you, Jesus. Everybody stand, please. I said I wanted to pray with you and I wanted to pray for you. I'm going to go right down front. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to come down here. I want to shake your hand and I want to pray for you right now. Come on. Just come on. Just step out and come on. If you don't want to walk by yourself, ask somebody there with you. They'll walk with you. Come right on. Just come right on. Right here, man. God bless you. Let's just wait a minute, see if anybody else comes. Anybody want to come? Come on. Come on right now. We're waiting. Anybody want to come? Come on right now. Yeah, here comes some right here. Yeah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, guys. This is a great, great, great time. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Thanks for bringing them. Hey, buddy. Bless you. You're never too young. You're never too old for Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Anybody else want to come? We're waiting right now. Come on. Anybody else want to come? Come on right now. Hey, guys, look around here at me for right now. I got these two books in my hand called In Him and New Birth. If I said I was going to give them to you and I reach them out, what you got to do to get them? Somebody show me. There you go. You got them. They're yours. Hey, y'all going to get them same books in just a minute. You get them same books. I did that as a little exercise. The thing you come to receive is a spiritual thing. I can't give it to you. Nobody else here. It comes from heaven on high. Just as he reached out to get those books, I want you to raise one hand. I don't care which one. Just raise one hand toward heaven and with that hand saying, okay, God, I'm reaching up for the spiritual thing that I came down here for. Would you do that right now? Congregation, reach your hands toward him as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each one of them that come today. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met. Salvation, rededication, no soul experience with you. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands down. I want you to ask you to go to, and you can go, you can come down with somebody, you can go with them. Go to a special place where you can be prayed with individually and in depth. Would you see Greg right over there? Just follow him to that special place where you can get them books and everything. Just go right now. Follow him right now. Go that direction. Just go that way. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give them a hand as they go. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. That's what it's all about right there. Praise God. Praise God. Tonight at 6 o'clock, right here. Be here, okay? Come believing, come expecting. Praise the Lord. Staff, y'all need to go to the door so you can shake hands with people as they go out. All right. Praise God. The way we do it around here, if you're not familiar with it, we sing a chorus to let all of us get to the door so we can shake your hands, then they'll dismiss you and they'll sing a chorus and dismiss you, okay? All right. Connection team, go find those first-time guests, please, and take them to get the special, special gift that we prepared for them. Nobody else move unless you absolutely have to, please. All right, connection team, find our first-time guests. Take them to that special place to receive their special gift, a special gift that we prepared just for you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being part of us. If you're looking for a church home, don't look any further. Just come on, be a part of us. We have a great time serving God Unlimited right here. So come and be a part of us. Hey, tonight, 6 o'clock, be here. We'll see you. They'll sing and then they'll dismiss you. God bless. Let me get to the door where I can shake hands. Bye-bye.